We're going to keep talking about seeing ourselves whole, embracing our value, our person, and our presence, because you are important. Look at somebody and say, you are important. Seeing yourself from the inside out and also seeing that you are enough. Look at the Lord and say, you created me enough. Right on. You have divinity within you. You are a wonder, for the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. I always remind you guys, when I was going through pancreatic cancer journey, the key to everything that was happening is that the doctors were depending on that I was fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my body would handle chemotherapy and would recover. My body would handle whatever was going to happen and would do what it was designed to do. So they didn't really create anything magical. The magic was what my body was designed to do and who God made me to be. And it worked, because you are a wonder. Every time you heal, you're a wonder. Every time you get up and defy the odds and you're from your past, you are a wonder. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I want you to celebrate that and not be afraid of that, because this is what David said in that scripture. He says, I praise God for myself. See, no one's in the crickets in the room, right? It's like I'm out in the North Country. No, he says, I praise God that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So I want you to praise God for who God made you to be. Do it right now in Jesus' name. You are important to him. Right on. You have greatness within. For greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Eternity is in you. Everlasting life is in you. And you really are what you are. And I want you to see yourself wealthier, healthier, open, liberated, and energetic. Say, I need energy. Right on. I want to stay energetic. We've made New Year's resolution, but the reality of New Year's resolution is that 92% of them will fail. And I thought about and pondered why that happens. And the reason why is that all of our resolutions are based on the fruit of our life and not the root of our life. It's not based on the outcome and not the motivation. So the objective of See Yourself Whole is to get you away from the outcome and move you into the motivation. And what I want to let you know, that your motivations are from God. And if you can get in touch with the divine roots that are inside you, you will be able to solve the things that you have not been able to solve in your life before. Let the church say amen. There's power inside of you. There's greatness inside of it. You were created to be and already are a whole person waiting to be revealed. How many over your life discovered that you could do things that you didn't know you could do? But over time, it's like, wow, I didn't know I could do that. It's like the kid who struggled through high school and elementary school and one day ended up in college and realized that college was the pace that worked for their intellectual motivation. And all of a sudden did well in college after just blowing away high school and elementary school. Any of those in here? Amen. Did great. And so, and people say, why? Why did the light go on? Because you know what? There's greatness. There's a real powerful person that needs to be revealed, because you're in the image and likeness of God. And the deception of an unrenewed mind, is to believe you are what you've done, become, good, bad, or ugly. And so what you're doing is that you're looking at all the fruit of your life. Oh, gee, I have debt in my life. That defines me. Or, oh, gee, I made this mistake. That defines me. This went wrong. That defines me. And some of you are consuming things that happened to you 10 years ago because you see the residual effects of it today. And as soon as you see it, you fall into this place of defeat and you begin to consume. But if you are a tree, it's not natural for trees to eat its own fruit. So why would you eat your own fruit? That's backwards thinking. You are a tree to feed and bless others. And as a tree of life, say, I am a tree of life, I better get in touch with that, because I want to produce things that are going to help other people. Amen. So if you begin consuming who you are on the inside and let your roots go deep into Jesus, tell somebody this. Tell them. Say it again. Everything you need is already inside you. Here's the deal. You can be whole and not yet healthy. How many know that to be true? In the Bible, we've gone through stories of the profile of a whole person. And I showed you a person that was bent over by life, that was insecure, beat up, and defeated. Yet, she kept coming to church, and we showed you the consistency, the little things she did in her life that defined who she really was. And she wasn't the condition that she was in. So you can be whole and not yet healthy. You can be whole and not yet wealthy. You can be whole and not yet open, liberated, or energetic. But say it out loud. Everybody say it out loud. Say it. It's okay. Right on. Hold on. I'm on my way. Right on. Let's stand on our feet right now and let's read some scripture. Today we're going to continue with thoughts on wholeness, and this thought we're going to deal with wealthier. We are going to talk about money. Oh, wonderful, wonderful Savior. Anyway, money matters, this kind of order of things. But what I want you to know over the coming weeks is what God wants you to know about money, because God knows a few things about money. Let's read scripture. Ready? Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, build pleasant houses and settle in. See your herd and your flocks flourish. More and more money come in. Watch your standard of living going up. Someone say amen to that. Right on. Then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Because when you think of this historically, these people were slaves to the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. And somehow, some way, their ancestors' faith in God emerged again. They bought into it, and by trusting God and his timing, they saw God bring Egypt to his knees and liberate them and give them freedom where they had no freedom of their own. Somebody say, there is a God. And you must include God in the process. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He let you hang out there feeling like you were going to fall off the cliff. But hang on the edge of the cliff like this and never fall. That's what that means. I'm just going to let you hang. How many parents do that for your kids? I'll just let you hang out there so that you understand and get used to this pressure. Get used to this is life. Things go wrong. But greater is he that is in you than the things that are happening around you. And God designed you to be the solution for every situation you're sitting in your life. Let the church say, amen. So he let you sit there for your good because he could. And he says, beware after being successful. Then your heart, you say to yourself, my power, my might have given me this wealth. You shall remember your God, for it is he who gives you what? Say it. Power to do what? Get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Give praise to the word of God. Amen. Or God gives you the power to be successful in whatever you're in. Let us declare the miracle of abundant life. Lord, I now relinquish all grievances, resentments, and regrets, and I choose the miracle. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Praise him before you sit down, right on. Or as you're sitting down, right on. Deuteronomy 8, the power to get wealth. God, Jehovah Elohim, self-existent, supreme, and eternal magistrate of the universe. Amen. How you like that title? self-existent, supreme, eternal magistrate of the universe, gives to, adds to, ordains, lifts up, and makes you to have, applies to, appoints to, and assigns to you power. Say, I got the power. Right, you're thinking of Bruce Almighty, right? I got the power, the means, the ability, the capacity, the might and vigor to get this wealth or advance, bring forth and bestow this wealth, this force, this resource, this means, this valor and virtue I gave to you. But the question is, why? Why does God give you the ability to produce? Why have you come from generations of people who have managed throughout history to produce and make the world better? Just real clear, we are still, as a society, the most benevolent, blessed, and forward-thinking, helpful people on the planet, period. Don't believe the news. If the United States falls, the whole world falls. They need us on that wall. They like us there. And it's easy to pick on the big guy, but the reality is you are standing on the shoulders of generations of people of faith that believed in a greater thing than themselves. Let the church say amen. So let's answer the question why that our ancestors already knew that has escaped us. It has escaped us because as I was looking for, you know, I was Googling Deuteronomy 8:18 and I would find this and it would say the ability to produce wealth, good. Or it would say the power to get wealth, sure, good. Then it would say again, the power to get wealth. And I said, well, Deuteronomy 18, doesn't it say more than this? And I rarely saw the reason why. And in Deuteronomy 18, and that's a convenient thing in your modern Christian movement. They don't use context, and they don't finish scriptures. Because if you don't finish this scripture, you have missed the whole point. And that's why you'll squander anything that God gives to you. You won't know what to do with it. But if you finish the scripture and understand what it really says, and this is what it really says. So this is the first round of a little game I'm having with you. Finish or find the scripture. Finish or find it. Finish or find it. So I found it, and I'm going to finish it. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to what? Great. That he may what? Yeah, his covenant, his agreement, his promise. I mean, what is that thing? I'm going to simplify it for you. I'm going to strip away all of the Christian lingo. The average Christian cannot tell you why Jesus came, why God did what he did for you. He says he gives you the power to get wealth to establish his covenant. His covenant is to save people and save the planet. He wants to do both. That's the end. Let the church say. Now, your agnostic people that you minister to will understand that. Oh, save people, save the planet? I want to do that. But if you go into it, your denominational junk that doesn't mean anything, and confuse them, why don't you talk like a real person? God wants to save you, and he wants to save this planet. Okay, I'm in. Anybody that wants to save people and save the planet, I'm in. That's cool. Everybody say, I'm in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, say, I am, and whosoever, I'm a whosoever. A whosoever believes in him would not or should not perish, but have what? So Jesus's mantra, God's mantra, God's mission, God's objective for whatever has happened to this world is that none of you individually should perish because the greater one is in you. We need you, and without you, the world cannot be saved. Jesus proved that. Without Jesus, the world could not be saved. So he had to send Jesus in the form of a child, one of us, one of us going out, being one of us, being the best one of us, and making a decision to do controversial things to save others. Let the church say amen. Say, Jesus was an awesome human being. Say it. Jesus, it was an awesome human being. He's awesome. And he fulfilled that mission that none should perish. And that mission and that power to keep us from perishing is still alive today. But why do people perish? Why do people fall away? Why do they die? Why do they fall apart? Some of them are dead right now. They have no hope. They've lost hope. They're discouraged. They've given up. Sometimes when you see a guy on the curve with, I will work for food or something like that. It's not many times. It's just a person that has been beat up so bad that he's just given up. And he's perishing. And the last thing that would bring him joy was just some food or a moment of generosity. Amen. My question, it's my job to ask why. My job is to be there. And I always let down my window, and I always give, and I don't ask any questions. How dare you judge someone less fortunate than yourself? How corrupt. Jesus will show you that in the Bible. There's nothing more corrupt than that lack of empathy. To look at a person and wonder, well, you know, he's just going to go buy drugs with it. What's it to you? Your job is to be kind and not judgmental, but compassionate. Let the church say, right on. It's my birthday. I can say that. Amen. You might be mad at me, but it's my birthday. You know, you get to do what you want on your birthday. Hey, here it is. One of the things that causes people to perish is ignorance. Ignorance. For ignorance is not bliss. Amen? It is not bliss. Everything that I did not know that I wish I did know, I'm sometimes angry about, and God has to calm me down. Why didn't he tell me that before? Ignorance is not bliss. Knowledge gives you an advantage. And the Bible says, my people are destroyed because of what? So ignorance, not bliss. The other way is no vision. People that don't see a future from the moment, that don't see where it's going, who spend all their time in the past and don't produce a thought toward where we might be going, what I want to be. Every person in the Bible that was healed, they did not see their condition. They saw themselves without the condition. Say amen. That's why when Jesus showed up, they knew what to ask for because they had a vision. I have a vision. What do you need? I want to walk. Why? I can't walk. Why do you want to walk? You've never walked. But in my faith, in my mind, I see myself walking. I see myself whole. I see myself running. I see myself alive. I see myself vibrant. And I can't get away from that vision. It stays with me, and it mocks what I'm going through. And then one day, your life catches up with your faith, and your vision is fulfilled. But the Bible says, but if you don't have a vision, where there is no vision, people, what? Perish. If people don't have a proverbial reason why to go and do and make it happen, they become existent. I talk to guys my age that have already retired. And you know what it tells me? John, don't ever retire. Please, Lord, don't let me retire. For where there is no vision, they begin to perish, and they begin to start aging, and then they begin to ask me, well, what's your secret? I haven't retired. I still have a reason to get up and go. You got a reason to get up and go? Right on. Keep a reason to get up and go. See, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight and know what? Vision. Because vision is the eyesight of your spirit. Your spirit, that's your image of God. It sees the was, is, and is to come. It sees the potential of what happened and what is and where it's going to go. It has the creativity to accumulate all those things and say, this is what I got. This is what we're going to do in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering for vision.
Right on.
Poverty destroys people. That's why in the horsemen of the apocalypse, you see war, famine, disease. They follow one another. They cause people to perish. War causes people to perish. Disease causes them to perish. But Jesus' passion, along with your money, say, my money, right on. Jesus gave all, and he needs your money to keep all of it going. Amen. Because he loves you this much. But here it is. This is God's covenant, that your money helps move, and that our ancestors' devotion and money help move, and you are here because of their devotion today. There are no self-made people in this room. All of you are recipients of someone else's sacrifice. Amen. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher. He will lift you up. And if you give your money, he will solve disease. For the Bible said he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent his word all the way to me. And by the time pancreatic cancer came into my life, they had an answer. Somebody say amen. I can't testify for somebody else. This is what I experience. And that is my testimony. And I had one of my brothers say, hey, John, if this happened to you 7 years ago, he said, man, you know, that's poor timing, but you're right. And he was right. Disease is being healed. Someone say amen. War is ending. For when Jesus was born, what did the angel say? Peace on earth and what? Goodwill. So that whole idea of peace on earth wasn't accidental. That's why it's in your spirit. May there be peace on earth, even on the United Nations. It has the mantra of Isaiah 2:2, where it says they will bang their swords into plowshares and their pruning hooks, and they will not learn war anymore. Do you know that we war less than any time in human history? Oh, that's a fact, Jack. You watch too much CNN. And it only sells on war and controversy. Most of the people in my neighborhood will shovel your snow. How many are still here? Somebody say the devil's a liar. Humanity is good because it's in the image of God. How about poverty? For he says, I was hungry and you gave me drink. And Jesus said this in Matthew 25 to the nations of the earth that were emerging, that if you want to be a sheep nation, you have to be concerned about those that are most vulnerable in your culture. Amen. And mission and vision. How about that? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see who? They'll see God in every situation. They'll look at the moment, and then they'll look at the future, and they'll say, okay, God, here it is. This is what I see. What did Jesus do? How did Jesus see it? And as for ignorance, Jesus put it this way. Jesus told them, go back and tell John what you've heard and you've seen me do. He said that the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cured, the deaf are here, the dead are raised. And good news is being preached to who? Poor. If you educate the poor, as Mr. Scrooge says, right. Well, he said if you give money to the poor, they won't be poor anymore. But I say if you educate the poor, they won't be poor anymore. You are all recipients of an education that keeps you from being poor. And if you get poor, you can get out of it because you have knowledge. And Jesus believed that was your divine right, to have knowledge. And this is what your money does. Declare it so. Ready? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Give God praise for that. Heaven to earth. Heaven to earth. Heaven's got a plan. Earth has the solution through you. Right on. But here it is. God needs you to make money to help save you and others. God needs you to make money to help save you and others. Now, there's a story of a rich man named Zacchaeus, because every now and then in Jesus' ministry, he'd run into a cash flow problem. For a couple of chapters before, there was a young man that was going to join the team. The Bible only, his description of him is that he is a rich young ruler. He was ready to follow Jesus, be one of his disciples like Peter and the rest of the guys. And then Jesus said, well, there's one thing you lack. Sell all of your wealth and give it to the poor, and you will be perfect. You will be complete. And the Bible says, as much as he respected and loved Jesus, it was a difficult thing to him. Sometime later, I'm going to talk about how difficult it is to give money. I'm not telling you giving money is easy. Jesus is telling you it's difficult. But if you overcome and you get there, guess what? There is a very peaceable place to be. And so he walked away and he was frustrated. And, you know, Jesus made a statement about it being impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. And Peter said, wow, who can be saved then? Jesus says, it's impossible with man, but nothing is impossible with who? God. There's nothing impossible with God. So some chapters later, he's going to this place, and there's this the rich guy, is the shortest guy in town. His name is Zacchaeus. And in children's church, we'd sing it this way. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed into a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Lord came past his way, he looked up in the tree because he's having a cash flow problem and he's heard about Zacchaeus. Jesus wasn't beyond seizing an opportunity. So I'm going to take a chance on this one. He said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today. Hey! And they go to Zacchaeus' house, and all his rich friends come by, and they have a hoot of a time, and the music is playing, and they're having a great time, and Jesus is telling them stories and telling them jokes, and it's like, oh, geez, oh, man, oh, I can't stand it. And all the religious people on the outside that would judge Zacchaeus simply because he was a bit more clever about money than them, it felt like they were being cheated. No. You just didn't think it through, and he's better at it than you. Was that too harsh? So people were mad and jealous at Zacchaeus, and they began to criticize Jesus. Oh, he just wants to be around the money people. You look at Jesus. They criticize everything. Jesus heals somebody on the wrong day, they criticize that too. Critical, 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 critical. There's a place in the afterlife for the chronically critical. I just said there's a place. I didn't say. I just said. So they throw the party, and Zach is excited. He's going, Jesus! Oh, dude. You know what, Jesus? The Bible says he stood up. He stood up and he said, behold, Lord, half of my goods I will give to the poor. Now, note. There are no social programs in Judea. Jesus was the social program. So let's rewrite it. All half of my goods, Jesus, I am going to give to you because you are the only one that's taking care of the poor. I mean, the poor sick in Bethany with Lazarus and Mary and Martha, these were elite philanthropic people that were helping the sick. Those were leper colonies in Bethany. That's why she had all of that frankincense and myrrh, because they were always burying people. But that's why Lazarus got sick, because he was around sick people all the time, and suddenly his immunity broke down and he got sick as well. How many understood that? These were Jesus's friends, and they needed the power to get wealth to come into what they were doing so they can help more people get well and be wealthy. Someone say amen to that. Hallelujah. And so he said, hey, Zacchaeus says, Jesus, and you know what? Jesus on top of it, because I heard the rumors. Don't think I don't hear the rumors. If I have defrauded any one of you, he was confident about it. No one were going to take him to court and prove that he had defrauded them, that he had did everything within the law, whether you can question it or not, he did not break the law. And he said, yeah, I will restore it to you. This is our confidence. I'll restore anything you think I stole fourfold. You heard it here. Then Jesus said to him, What did he say? Today what? Today salvation. Now, here's a problem with the word salvation. Everybody translates salvation as whether you're going to heaven or hell or not. Salvation has nothing to do with the afterlife. Salvation exclusively deals with life here on earth. Only on earth here I need to be saved. Saved, delivered, or healed. So if I'm sick, I need to be healed. In the afterlife, I don't get sick. How many are still here? Delivered because I'm frustrated or I feel disordered or everything's breaking down in my life, emotionally irregular. You know what? That doesn't happen in the afterlife. It's all clear. But on earth, I can get emotionally irregular and I need to be delivered. Someone say amen. Some of you got kids in situations. You need to be delivered. Lord, deliver me. It basically means help me deal with it without strangling them. Help me. Today, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your house since he also is a son. There's that child of Abraham thing again about your entitlements and your rights as a human being who believes in God. God has blessing for you. Say that with me. God has blessing for me because you are a child of Abraham. Where there's no male or female, there's no race, there's no gender, there's no social. You have opportunity in the kingdom of God that defy the laws of your land. You may be oppressed in your land, but in the kingdom of God, he has a way for you to rise above it. Anybody ever rose above things in here? You rose above discrimination. You rose above things that went wrong. You rose above disadvantage. You rose above your parenting. You rose above a dysfunctional home, and here you are with your little self, you child of Abraham, you overcomer. God bless you. You're all here because you're overcomers. Zacchaeus was overcomer. Jesus said, boy, salvation's coming to your home. You'll know the way out every time. Give it away. Somebody say, give it away. For the Father or the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who realize that they're lost. Those that realize that you're lost. Zacchaeus climbed a tree because he realized he was missing something. He was a billionaire, but he climbed a tree to meet Jesus because he realized in his inner self, there's something missing. There's got to be more than this. And suddenly, satisfaction came to his life by giving away half of his wealth. The Bible says, bring the full tithe. Activate and release God's blessings. You activate and release the promises of God when you give to God. I love Monty's video where the guy, I guess the guy's name was Jim, the green guy, you know, the green stick guy in Monty's video this morning. But it said he began at 1%, started at 1%. But don't just do nothing. Your 1% may remove the snow that month. How many of you are still here? Morgan Freeman said, if you want to see the miracle, be the miracle. And the power to get wealth for the establishment of his covenant is your opportunity in the smallest and least form. Because of wealth, and I'll point that out next week, of wealth, money is the least of wealth. And if you can't handle the least of wealth, what are you going to do with your intellect, your abilities, your giftings, your time, your creativity, all those things that the rest of the world needs to see in living color? Let the church say, amen. So today, you feel wealthier? Yeah, you should be, because the word makes you full and rich. And God wants you to know these things.